Here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
What did he say? What did he say?
Ace free. And, you know, if this doesn't wake you up, if this doesn't wake the world community up with a serious need to do something about this, I mean, I don't know what is. This is just very, very scary what we're leaving to our the future generations on this planet. There's also some miscellaneous news I kind of wanted to get to here before we jumped right headlong into the big stories of the day. Of course, we've got to talk about that Mitchell report, the report on the steroids in baseball and how just about everybody and his dog was juiced up back in the 90s and the early 2000s. We'll get to that. We're also going to look at the Democratic Party. Oh, man, the Democratic leadership. Yeah, caving in once again. Actually, three different examples of Democratic cave-ins this week. It's like a trifecta of Democratic fecklessness. And, boy, you know, I'm going to tear that apart, of course. We'll take your calls on it as well. We also got to look at the Christmas resolution. You know, I got to talk about that, you know, the old war on Christmas. But before we get to that, I want to get to some of these miscellaneous stories that just been kind of sitting on my desk here that I thought was interesting to note. First of all, today, December 15th, 2007, is the 216th birthday of the Bill of Rights. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, 216 years, we've had the Bill of Rights, and as far as I can tell, we still have at least one or two or three of them left. They haven't all been sacrificed at the altar of the war on terror and the war on drugs. We still have the Third Amendment. As far as I've been able to discern, the Bush administration has not required any American citizens to quarter British soldiers in their home. So we still have the Third Amendment. Let's count our blessings on that one. Wanted to note some of the other news coming up here. This is breaking news here on the Saturday. Apparently, the dictator, the coup-installed military dictator of Pakistan, General Musharraf, has ended emergency rule in Pakistan. Yes, yes, that's good news. We're all glad that he's ended emergency rule. He's restored the Constitution, but critics out there are still saying that he's got so many loopholes and so many little tricks up his sleeve that that this really doesn't amount to a whole hill of beans, really. But hey, good news, I guess, for the people of Pakistan. You know, Pakistan, our allies. You remember those guys, Pakistan, our allies, who have nuclear weapons and are harboring Osama bin Laden in the mountains of Waziristan? Yes, our ally, Pakistan. So good to know that they're kind of back on the right track there. And also, just a personal note that I wanted to bring forth today, too, is December 15th today here in Portland, Oregon, is kind of an important day here. The chapter of Normal here, Oregon Normal, is holding the Oregon Medical Cannabis Awards, where they give the awards to the best growers of medical marijuana in the state of Oregon. So if anyone in the sound of my voice is listening and you want to check out what's going on in the world of medical marijuana, this is going to be out at the Ambridge Event Center here in Portland, Oregon. And it's quite an interesting thing here, too. The Oregon State Bar Association is granting continuing education credits to any lawyers who attend the legal panel. So this is serious stuff. This isn't, as one of the former drug czars said, this is not Cheech and Chong medicine. This is serious stuff, with serious laws and real medical science behind it. So I just wanted to give a shout-out to the people there who are doing the good work of taking care of sick and disabled Oregonians and to all the medical marijuana states. And an interesting little clip I got here. This was a question that was asked of John Edwards as to whether or not he supported medical marijuana. And this is what candidate John Edwards had to say.
For me, this is very simple. I believe we ought to actually respect the democratic process. I would end the DEA raids in states where either the voters or the legislature have approved the use of medical marijuana.
Yeah, it's just about time. You know, one of the things about the right wing that always just kind of makes me, well, grimace sometimes, is they're always so states' rights. They're always about the states' rights. Keep your hands off the states. Let the states do what they want. But whenever the states are for something like, you know, gay marriage or assisted suicide or medical marijuana, then suddenly states' rights isn't such an issue. Oh, no, no, we got to get the government involved. We got to get the government involved in those state affairs, you know. So, yeah, more Republican hypocrisy, as usual. I know it's a broken record here. So Anyway, let's get to the real stories of the day here. Now that I got the miscellaneous out of the way. I've got the story here on the Mitchell Report, and we got to talk a little bit about this. You know, the Senator George Mitchell, former senator, was commissioned to investigate steroids in baseball, and he found out that for more than a decade, there has been widespread anabolic steroid use in baseball. And my reaction to that is, so what? I mean, who cares if there was steroids in baseball?
Well, Lottie frickin' God!
I mean, did anyone doubt there was steroids in baseball? Was this like a mystery to anyone when we were seeing guys hitting 70 home runs a season and we're seeing these little guys bulk up to, you know, gargantuan proportions? We got pitchers that are lasting into their 40s, you know, playing top level ball. Did you think that was an accident? Come on, people. We all knew there was steroids in baseball. My question is this. Who cares? I mean, let's let them all take steroids in baseball. What's the big deal? Why is that cheating? Why is steroids in baseball cheating? I mean, okay, aside from the fact that it's against the law. All right, we know that it's against the law. But why are we so hung up on a chemical way of improving an athlete's performance? We don't seem that hung up on any other methods that we've used to improve athletic performance over the past, you know, couple decades. I mean, you know, these baseball purists, they say, well, it sullies the game. It makes it so that the records from these eras aren't the same as the records from the previous eras. But that's true in any sport. I mean, you can't compare the running backs from the 60s to the running backs of today in football. You can't, I mean, look at basketball. I mean, they didn't have 7'6" Chinese guys playing basketball in the 50s. Are those records any different? So I'm going to dig into this when we come back from the break. We'll talk about this Mitchell report. And I just, I'm curious about your opinions on this too. I'm not too much of a baseball fan. So if there's baseball fans out there that want to air this out, let's talk about it. The phone number here is 866-5577-377. Steroids in baseball. Is it cheating? Do we need to do more? Or should we just let go and let them go crazy? Go ahead, do the steroids. We don't care. It's up to us, America. Let's decide what we think about this. Give me a call, 866-5577-377. I'm Radical Russ. You're live on the weekends with The Russ Belville Show. Oh, welcome back. 22 after the hour. Welcome to the weekend, everyone.
Oh, put me in cold. I'm ready to play today.
Oh, yeah.
Put me in cold.
Give me a needle.
I'm ready to play.
Get some juice.
Ha, ha, ha. I can be set to feel.
Oh, that's right. Chicks dig the long ball, they tell me. Welcome back to the weekend. I'm Radical Russ. You know, I'm really not a baseball fan. Don't really like it very much. You know, I find the game to be very dull, very unexciting, very uninteresting, and silly in a lot of ways. You got, you know, managers, you know, big old fat managers wearing baseball outfits, scraping dirt on the umpire's shoes and spitting in their face. I mean, it doesn't really turn me on. But this whole Mitchell Report thing does get my attention with regards to the steroids in baseball. The big report comes out, says all these great stars, Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds and all these guys, have been using steroids for a long time, you know, throughout the mid-90s and all the way through the 2000s. And you know what? Good. Good for them. I'm glad they were using steroids. You know what? The only time, one of the few times I remember sitting down and turning on a TV and actually watching baseball was when that summer when we had Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa fighting it out for the home run king. That was exciting. Man, that was interesting. There was finally a compelling thing to watch in baseball. So as far as I'm concerned, baseball needs steroids. Baseball needs something to make it a little more interesting. And these purists that complain about, oh, it's not fair. It's not, it sullies the game. You know, even George Bush, you know, had to say something about that.
Like many fans, I've been troubled by the steroid allegations. I think it's best that all of us not jump to any conclusions on individual players' name, but we can jump to this conclusion, that steroids have sullied the game.
Ah, yes, steroids have sullied the game. It would be awful It would be terrible if the management and the people in charge of Major League Baseball were just letting their players run rampant on steroids. Wouldn't that be awful if somehow the management wasn't paying it? Hold on just a second here. From 1988 to 1994, George W. Bush was the managing general partner of the Texas Rangers. A baseball management executive type, huh? And according to this Mitchell report, Ivan Rodriguez, Juan Gonzalez, Rafael Palmeiro, and Jose Canseco, all players for the Texas Rangers, were alleged to have used or have admitted using steroids while playing for Bush. So, great work there, George. The same kind of oversight you've given to the government, apparently you gave to your Major League Baseball team. You turned a blind eye to steroids when you were managing the Rangers. You didn't care. It's all about the money. It's all about the ratings. You didn't care. As long as those guys were hitting home runs every game, you didn't care. And to come out here now and say crap like this.
Because I understand the impact that professional athletes can have on our nation's youth. And I just urge those in the public spotlight, particularly athletes, to understand that when they violate their bodies, they're sending a terrible signal to America's young.
Yeah, when they violate their bodies. This is a guy who was an alcoholic and a coke addict talking about violating their bodies. But Bush was president or general manager, general partner from 88 to 94 when all this steroid stuff was going on. And I found a column by a sports columnist named Skip Bayless, who was a journalist in Dallas. And he wrote a column where he said, quote, "I knew the president when he was owner of the Rangers, and I heard all the whispers around the locker room and the clubhouse. I think he looked the other way." Yeah, so no wonder he wants to put this all behind us, right? Where he says, we shouldn't be going back and punishing the ones who did it in the past. Well, because you're the one who let him get away with doing it in the past. You were complicit in this whole steroid scandal. But like I said earlier, so what? Who cares? It's a medical thing, man. Why do we have a problem with people using some sort of medical treatment to improve their performance? Yes, I know steroids are illegal. And used improperly, like any drug, they can be harmful to one's health. But when you make the drug illegal, when you put it underground, you make it so that it's going to be more harmful. These guys are going to avoid any sort of detection, and they're going to try any sort of method to get away with this. We're talking multi-million dollar contracts here. There's plenty of financial incentive for these guys to cheat and try to get away with it. And in doing so, and trying to do it underground and hidden from the light of day, this is what causes the problems. This is what causes the overdoses and the health issues. And if somebody wants to take a steroid and say it hurts their liver or shrinks their testicles, so what? Why is that my business? Why do I care? Well, you know, the guy's making what, $50 million, $100 million? Hey, you know what? I might trade a couple years of my life for $100 million. I think maybe a few other people out there might too. Why is this any of our business? Why do we care? Why do we want to get involved in the private medical decisions between an athlete and their doctor? Now, the purists are going to say this causes an unfairness. This is an unfair competition for those who were following the rules and not taking steroids. It's unfair they have to compete with the people who do take steroids. Well, make yourself I get so wrapped up in this sometimes I can't even think straight. You know, why is it that the medical enhancements are such a big deal when we're talking about steroids, but the medical enhancements are no big deal when we're talking about painkillers? Yeah, there's a lot of painkillers that exist now in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s that didn't exist way back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. So a player who might have been injured himself wouldn't be able to recover as quickly or be able to play the game the next week. How come is it that the guys today that can take the painkillers and continue to play, why are their records any less suspect than the people, or any worse than the people then who didn't have the painkillers back in the day? Or the arthroscopic knee surgery, or the special sports trainers, or any of the other surgeries or medical advances that make the players today better than the players yesterday? I think it's a false argument. Every sport evolves and changes over time. Now, that's as much time as I want to dedicate to this Mitchell Report, because this is not a baseball show. This is a political show. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about those torture tapes. That's right, the CIA videotaped the torture interrogations, and we want to know more about it. Give us a call at 866-5577-377.
This is the Russ Belville Show, the winner of America's search for the next great progressive talk radio star. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Ah, 35 after the hour. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the weekend. I'm Radical Russ, your red state refugee, reminding you that we can take our country back. One boy, one girl, one person at a time. Yeah, a little bit of underwater rhymes. That's the best song I could find to match this story here. We're going to talk a little bit about these torture tapes that have been in the news. This is, it just breaks my heart that I even have to talk, as an American citizen, that I even have to talk about our country destroying evidence of torture. I mean, that's just, it's beyond the pale. I can't even believe this is my country anymore, that we're even discussing the use of torture, much less engaging in it. But the situation, of course, is that the CIA has admitted that it videotaped interrogations of Al-Qaeda members. This was back in 2002. Where they were in a secret prison, one of our secret black site prisons. Another thing that I, you know, sad to have to report, that we have secret gulags, secret prisons. But anyway, they're at the secret prisons, and they videotaped harsh interrogations of Al-Qaeda members Abu Zubaydah and Abd al-Rahim al-Nashiri. Harsh interrogations, which of course is waterboarding, and which of course here at the show we do not call waterboarding. We call it the drowning torture from the Spanish Inquisition.
No one expects a Spanish Inquisition.
Well, no one expected a Spanish Inquisition in America either, and that's what we ended up with. So they videotaped these guys in 2002, with the interrogations and the waterboarding that was going on. And in 2003, there was a trial. In May of 2003, there was a judge who was presiding over the trial of Zacharias Moussaoui, and in this trial requested the government turn over any recordings of any Al-Qaeda captives that might be potentially relevant to the case. Okay, she wants to know, you know, what's going on with our interrogations, what is the defense here for Zacharias Moussaoui? And in response, the CIA and the Justice Department said, tapes? We don't have any such tapes. There are no such recordings of these videotaped interrogations, despite the fact that they were videotaping interrogations as far back as 2002. So right off the bat, we've got the CIA and the Justice Department, the Bush CIA and Bush Justice Department, lying outright to a federal judge. But it gets worse. As it goes on, we get to 2004. In April of 2004, we've got the Abu Ghraib scandal that broke. And then as 2004 went along, the 9/11 Commission released their report. And the 9/11 Commission had asked for any material of this kind from all relevant agencies. And the government said, we don't have any such material. We can't give you anything like that. We don't videotape our interrogations. We move on to 2005. In 2005, a U.S. district judge ordered the Bush administration to safeguard all evidence and information regarding the torture, mistreatment, and abuse of detainees now at the U.S. Naval Base at Guantanamo Bay. So that was in February or June of 2005. So in November of 2005, they destroyed the videotapes. You know, why should they even care what the Justice Department of the Congress says? So far, nobody's held them to account for anything. We took impeachment off the table. We file contempt charges against them for not showing up for subpoenas, and they just ignore them. I mean, what do they got to lose? Why shouldn't they just, you know, ignore federal judges and destroy evidence? It's like no one's going to hold them to it. No one's going to call them to account. And we can't count on our Democratic leadership doing anything about it. Yeah. Yeah, they're just going to capitulate every time. Got more stories on that coming up later, too. So, as we go through 2005, they destroy the videotapes, and then they tell the government, once again, they tell the district judge that they have no such recordings. But then, just last week, there was a New York Times report that said, hey, guess what? We had recordings. Sorry about the lies. We did have recordings of these videotapes. And the new CIA director, Michael Hayden, admitted to their destruction back in 2005. So that's kind of the timeline that gets us set up here for what's going on with these torture tapes. Now, the recent developments on this. The Bush administration told a federal judge it was not obligated to preserve the videotapes of CIA interrogations of suspected terrorists and, here's the money quote, urged the court not to look into the tapes' destruction. Yeah, the president of the United States is telling the courts, don't poke around there. Don't sniff around the whole videotape torture part. You don't need to look at that. Look the other way. Nothing to see here. And our new attorney general, Michael Mukasey, we've been calling for, some of the people in Congress been calling for a special prosecutor. Because since the Justice Department was part of lying about the tapes even existing in the first place, maybe we ought to get somebody independent in there to check it out. Maybe we ought to appoint a special prosecutor. Well, Attorney General Michael Mukasey refused Friday to give Congress details of the government's investigation into the CIA's destruction of videotapes and interrogations of terror suspects. In a letter to leaders of the House and Senate Judiciary Committees, and here's the money quote, Mukasey also said there is no need right now to appoint a special prosecutor to lead the investigation. The preliminary inquiry is currently being handled by the Justice Department and the CIA's Inspector General. Well then, what the heck were we worried about then? The people that lied about there not being any tapes, the CIA and the Justice Department, who lied to a federal judge twice about there not being tapes, we'll just trust them. You guys go ahead and investigate it. We can trust you, even though you've lied to us twice. Yeah, so that's where we're at with that situation. Now, some of the good folks in Congress, and there are still a few left, are trying to do something about this. The House of Representatives passed a bill, 222-199, that banned the technique of waterboarding or, you know, drowning people as torture. And this bill would have limited the CIA to the interrogation tactics permitted by the Army Field Manual on Human Intelligence Collector Operations. In other words, this bill would just say the CIA can only do what the Army's allowed to do. You know, the Army's got a field manual on how to conduct investigations and interrogations. And you know, you ought to take the Army's word for this thing, because they're the ones who have the most to lose in this situation. They know that whatever we do to our captured prisoners is something that someone else might do to our boys and girls, might do to our service people. So they're very, very serious about this, and they don't want to see any sort of torture being used against our enemies. The Armed Forces Journal actually came out this week, and this is a panel of retired generals, 2, 3, 4-star generals, and this is what they had to say about the situation. Waterboarding is a torture technique that has its history rooted in the Spanish Inquisition. In 1947, the U.S. prosecuted a Japanese military officer for carrying out a form of waterboarding on U.S. civilians during World War II. Waterboarding inflicts on its victims the terror of imminent death. And as with all torture techniques, it is therefore an inherently flawed method for gaining reliable information. In short, it doesn't work. That blunt truth means all U.S. leaders, present and future, should be clear on the issue. These are our generals. Our retired generals are against waterboarding. Anybody with any sense in their head is against this waterboarding. Now, meanwhile, all the administration people are coming out trying to spin this. Saw a guy on one of the stations the other day talking about how they had used waterboarding on Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and on Abu Zubaydah, and how they broke immediately and they started spilling their guts about everything they knew. Well, yeah, they did. They spilled their guts on all sorts of things that were completely false. All sorts of wild goose chases. When you're tortured, you will say anything to make the torture stop. And that's why everybody with any sense in the intelligence community says torture is not a reliable way of getting information. And then we got those 24 fanatics out there watching the Jack Bauer universe who think, well, what if there's a ticking time bomb? What if there's a time bomb scenario and only through waterboarding could we prevent the death of millions of Americans? Well, the ticking time bomb scenario never happens. It's never happened. We've never been in that kind of situation. And furthermore, even if there were such a ticking time bomb scenario, you don't make it the policy of the United States of America to engage in torture. You do not make it policy. Now, if there's such a situation where there's a ticking time bomb, and there's some CIA agent who thinks maybe perhaps waterboarding might get some useful information, then that CIA agent needs to weigh the consequences of his actions versus the potential savings. And look, if he waterboards the guy and ends up defusing the nuke that would go off in L.A., don't you think that we might say, okay, well, for this one situation where you waterboarded the guy, we can forgive you retroactively. But you don't make it policy so they can just go do it any old time they want and not have to weigh any consequences of those actions. That's what leads to the torture of innocent people. You know, you think everyone in Gitmo is guilty? Really? Really? Come on. Not everybody in Gitmo is a terrorist, folks. A lot of these guys were turned in by warlords and turned in by the feuding tribal families that they've had feuds with for thousands of years. They were turned in for a bounty. They were just another paycheck, right? Some guy's been there for 5 years being tortured by our country. Well, I want to know what you think about this. The phone number here is 866-55-77-377. Torture. America is the country that tortures. What do you think about that? Give me a call or send me an email at radicalruss@gmail.com.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
Welcome back. It's 50 after the hour. We're live here on the weekends with progressive talk for the average working American citizen just like me. And I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Glad to have you here. Hey, the phone lines are open. So the phone number here is 866-55-77-377. That's 866-557-377. 7377. Make your thoughts and opinions known to the entire North American continent on the XM satellite radio network, as well as a terrestrial station near you. And the email address here is radicalruss@gmail.com. And speaking of email, yeah, bloody Vikings. Yes, it's time for our segment on listener email. I've been collecting a few of the emails from my listeners all around the country. This is my chance to get some of them read on the air. So again, if you want your opinion read on the air, send me the email at radicalruss@gmail.com. This first email is a nice one. This is from Kita, and Kita writes, "Thank you for being on the air. You are a breath of fresh air, cheerful, honest, courteous, and with a good perspective." That's awfully sweet, Kita. Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I get a lot of hate mail sometimes, so a letter like this really makes me feel good. Oh, excuse me, I gotta get something to drink here. Hold on just a second. God, I hate it when she does that. Thanks for the email, Kita. I totally appreciate that. That's very nice of you. Now, an email coming from the other side. I got one from the red side of the aisle, the Republicans out there. This is an email I got from Dave in Portland, Oregon. And Dave was kind of taking me to task about the CNN YouTube debate. I was saying, you know, how come the Republicans are getting all these God questions? And I was kind of upset about the level of the questions. And so Dave writes, "There were thousands of submitted questions, and CNN chose the broadcast questions. I doubt if the candidates had anything to say in the selection of the questions. As a Republican, I want those questions answered, too. You are somewhat entertaining, just to be fair." Well, thanks, Dave. Your letter was somewhat interesting, just to be fair. And Glenn writes, "I don't think people realize it is only a misdemeanor, not a crime, for a foreigner to be in this country without proper documentation. Remember, a crime is breaking a law that carries a penalty. Deportation is not a penalty, and that is the only thing that can legally be done to a foreigner who's found here without proper documentation. So that's an interesting point about that, you know, that it is just a misdemeanor to be an illegal alien or an illegal undocumented worker, whatever we're calling them today. So, there's an interesting point there. Why is that more of a crime? Why do people think of that as such a crime? And finally, my last email I want to get to here today, an email from Spider. I got a guy named Spider writing me. That's kind of interesting.
What did he say?
Spider says, "You have the wickedest, most satisfying bumper tunes of any radio host I've heard. In particular, I'm juiced by that nifty little jazz funk bit you play regularly. You know, the one with just a finger-licking good bass and trap set? Who is that, please?" Well, that is my bass deity. That is a fellow by the name of Victor Wooten. W-O-O-T-E-N. Victor Wooten. And he is the bass player for Bella Fleck and the Flecktones, which is a jazz band fronted by a banjo player. If you've never heard Bella Fleck, you should check that out too. Some of the other music we play on the show includes Brand New Angel by Government Mule, Hell Song by Sum 41, Joker and the Thief by Wolfmother, Sugar We're Falling Down by Fallout Boy, The Fallen by Franz Ferdinand, The Seed by The Roots, This Boy by Franz Ferdinand, and Times Like These by The Foo Fighters. And that just makes me feel old, because I don't even know most of those names that I just read off. So I guess I'm turning into an old guy. I got that old Homer Simpson perspective. Why do there have to be new bands? Because rock peaked in 1974. But anyway, thanks for the emails, everyone. It really makes my day to get them. It's just fascinating to hear from people all over the continent. You can send your email to radicalruss@gmail.com, and we'll be glad to read your opinion on the air. Now, we also want to talk a little bit today about the Democratic Party. Oh, my. You know, of course I'm going to be voting for Democrats whenever I possibly can. You know, voting for Republicans is, it's like just voting to give your money away to rich people. You might as well. But the Democrats have been very, very disappointing lately. And we'll get to that right after we get to the breaks. But before we do, let's go to the phones at 866-55-77-377. We've got Marty in Louisville. Marty, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Hey, Russ. I have to tell you, I'm so angry when I see these right-wing monsters on the air like Cliff May and Gaffney saying that torture's okay, we have to get information that gets good information. This is becoming a police state. I don't want to live in a police state where our government surveils us secretly and then they're allowed to torture people if they think it's important. That's what the Nazis did. That's what the Russian communists did. We derided them and pointed out to the whole world how horrible these societies were. And here's the point.
Yeah, I always say that we're becoming the country that people used to flee other countries because of.
Right.
Those are the countries that used to leave because they're being spied on and tortured and rounded up and disappeared.
Right, and they're excusing this. And here's the point I wanted to make based on that. If waterboarding or pulling fingernails out or beating or stress positions, if this works, then why don't our police, why are they not allowed when they have a prisoner these are people that are in captivity because they were caught by the, if they're thought to be terrorists, or if they're police catching a criminal in the States. Why is it that we never allow that? They have a Miranda right. They're not allowed to be beaten, let alone waterboarded. I mean, they may have a prisoner in a house with a bomb, and it may be a ticking time bomb, the policeman thinks. If they think
it can happen domestically.
If they think...
We've got to make, you know, a standard here. It's how do you treat a human being? I don't care if they're innocent, guilty, enemy combatant, POW, criminal, child beater, molester, rapist, murderer. How do you treat a human being? Well, thank you for your call, Marty. I'm glad we're on the same page on that, and I'm not the only one. And good to hear from the middle of the country that people feel that way, too. When we come back in the next hour, we're going to talk about the Democrats caving in on three separate bills in 1 week. It's like a record for them in fecklessness. I'm Radical Russ. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Oh, I made it. Ah, I was trapped in cyberspace for just a moment. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you held on and got a chance to listen to that wonderful Victor Wooten on the bass. I'm Radical Russ, your host of the Russ Belville Show. Had a little bit of a technical difficulty. It happens sometimes. It's the holidays. Anyway, let's get to our regular segment here that we usually do on the second hour. It's just about time for us to take a look at the right wing. Is on the grass. Now it's time for our weekly roundup of the right wing's altered reality.
The lunatic is on the grass.
From the Guano Loco neocon chicken hawks to the hypocritical American Taliban and the cable news punditocracy, the Russ Belville Show presents
the
Lunatic Fringe Award, an award dedicated to the politician, pundit, or preacher who said the most ignorant, hateful, or bizarre quote of the week. And as usual, we got a couple of our usual suspects here for the Lunatic Fringe Award. We're going to start off with Falafel Boy, Loofah Boy, that's right, Bill O'Reilly, over on the fake news channel. And he's been crowing about this war on Christmas for, well, a couple years now. And, you know, how us deadly, dangerous, secular progressives are trying to eliminate Christmas.
Let's ban all religion expression from the public square. Let's drive it indoors so it won't pollute the atmosphere. There's no place in American public life for any expression of spirituality. No, because that's offensive to the secular progressive movement, a beacon of tolerance.
Yeah, let's get something straight here, Mr. Sexual Harassment, Mr. Falafel Boy. Nobody on the secular progressive side is trying to get rid of religion in the public square. The public square is the internet and TV and newspapers and radio and your front lawn and businesses and streets, and everywhere you look is the public square. And I defy you to go out, walk for even a half an hour and not see a cross. Really, try it someday. Try it. Unless you're in the middle of, say, the hinterlands of Montana or Wyoming or something, way out where there's no civilization, anywhere where there's human beings, you're going to see a cross. I've driven through the most desolate stretches of America and seen little crosses on the side of the road where people wrecked and died. And why is it always little crosses anyway? I mean, how come you never see Stars of David or, you know, the little crescent and the star on the side of the road? Don't Jews and Muslims get in car wrecks? Or is it only that Christians are allowed to put up their litter on the side of the road? Well, anyway, that's not our winner today, though. No, Bill O'Reilly, I'm sorry, you did not win the Lunatic Fringe Award for the day. Our second contestant is Michael Wiener. That's right, Michael Savage. He had to make his opinion known about Al Gore going to the Global Climate Change Conference in Bali. And he was trying to point out how Al Gore's Nobel Prize was kind of fake, how Al Gore winning the Nobel Prize shouldn't be taken seriously because of this fact, according to Savage, about the Nobel Prize Committee.
Why do I call them socialist perverts? Answer, because they are. By and large, 90% of the people on the Nobel Committee are into child pornography and molestation.
90% of the Nobel Prize Committee is into child pornography and molestation. Okay, Mr. Savage, Mr. Wiener. Yeah, right, sure. But that's not even our winner. You know, when you're sifting through the muck of the right wing, you know, you gotta sift really hard to find the true nuggets of lunatic fringery. And this week was so super special to me. I don't know if you got to tune into that Iowa GOP debate, but there's kind of this weird rule in Iowa that, like, if you have an office and you have a staff, you're allowed to come to the debate. So Alan Keyes, you remember Alan Keyes? Remember the guy, Alan Keyes, from Maryland? He ran against Barack Obama in Illinois for Senate and lost, like, 72-21 or something like that. So you're just, you know, killed in the debate. And, you know, I think Alan Keyes ought to be in more of these debates for the Republicans, because for one, it makes me laugh. And it's all about me, right? So it makes me laugh. He just cracks me up. And second of all, by comparison, this is something the Republicans ought to think about. By comparison, Alan Keyes makes Mike Huckabee and Rudy Giuliani and Mitt Romney look somewhat sane. This is Alan Keyes explaining how the removal of God from our classrooms is what's to blame for all the ills today.
Governor Huckabee just addressed the question of education. He has stood before values voters and moral conservatives, claiming that he is their spokesman. You know the major problem in American education today? We allowed the judges to drive God out of our schools. We allowed the moral foundation of this republic, which is that we are created equal and endowed by our creator, not by our constitution or our leaders, with our rights. If we don't teach our children that heritage and the moral culture that goes along with it, we cannot remain free. They will not be disciplined to learn science, to learn math, to learn history, to learn anything.
So if you don't have prayer in school, kids can't learn anything. Okay. So Alan Keyes for demonstrating the hucksterism of a tent revival preacher and the reason of a rabid chipmunk. You are the winner of this week's Lunatic Fringe Award. That lunatic fringe is out there, ladies and gentlemen, and we've got to do something about it. It's time for the secular progressives. It's time for the reasonable religious people out there. I know you're out there, the reasonable Christians out there, to stand together and beat back this Christian supremacy movement in this country. It has just gone too far. I mean, we've got this this resolution that was just passed in the Congress here. This was in the House of Representatives, a resolution that passed 371-9, recognizing the importance of Christmas and the Christian faith. And there's a whole bunch of whereases and so on. This part. Whereas Christians identify themselves as those who believed in the salvation from sin offered to them through the sacrifice of their Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and who, out of gratitude for the gift of salvation, commit themselves to living their lives in accordance with the teachings of the Holy Bible. Amen. Praise Jesus. This is what our Congress is up to. This is what they're up to? We got problems with waterboarding. We got problems with a president who thinks he's a dictator or a king, and you're going to pass a resolution praising Christians? Give me a break. Let's go to the phones here. The phone number here is 866-5577-377. We've got Jay in Savannah, Georgia. Jay, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Hey, it's Jerry, and I may have missed something when you had those problems, but I thought you were getting ready to talk about the Democratic Congress, and I was.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of know what you're going to say, and I don't. And I'm can't tell you how much I would agree with you because I'm very disappointed also. But I have to think that their strategy is to keep all those disaffected people out there and voting for us in the general election. It's just like this Christian vote you just mentioned in Congress. They're all afraid. They're so afraid to impeach right now. They're afraid to stand up and do the thing. The war thing, giving the money toward war still. All these things they're doing, I think, are calculated because they're so afraid that they could lose people for the general election. So they're going along with it, and I think that's their strategy. I don't like it. I'm a well-informed individual who listens to America, but hey, listen, there's a lot of dodos out there, and I don't want to sound like a snob, who are just watching talent shows on TV, and they're probably going to vote Democrat if we don't cause them to get disaffected. And I think that's their strategy. Yeah. I'd like to hear your comment.
Well, let me rephrase that, Jerry. I think I got that right. Is that that the Dems here are calculating to keep us feeling crappy about politics so that we'll vote for them? I mean, and that might be their strategy. I'm not saying you're wrong, but it's definitely a flawed strategy, if you ask me. When we come back from the break, I want to get into that. We'll talk about the war funding bill that they caved in on. They're going to cave in on the retroactive immunity bill. They caved in on the energy bill. We'll cover all that when we come back from break, and I promise I will be there when we come back from the break. I'm Radical Russ. The phone number here is 866-5577-377. Welcome back to the weekend. We're live here with progressive talk from an average working guy for the average working guy and gal out there here in this great country we call America. And welcome to the show. Glad to have you here. The phone number here is 866-557-7377. That's 866-5577-377, which is not only a phone number, it's a heck of a hand in liar's poker. Our email address here is radicalrus@gmail.com. And speaking of the intertubes, check out the website, radicalrus.net. complete redesign. No more flashy, blinky stuff. Complete redesign of the site. You can catch Keith Tucker's What Now cartoons in the on the heading of the website every week. He's got a new cartoon, a great political cartoon. This one's on Bush vetoing the S-chip bill again. We really appreciate Keith Tucker for all his work here. Let's go to the phones. We're talking about the Democrats and how they've been capitulating and caving. What do you think about these modern Democrats these days? We're going to turn to Jerry here in York, Pennsylvania. Jerry, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Hi, Russ. I'll cut right to the chase here. I'm a progressive Democrat, and I think the Democratic Party sucks right now. There's been no time in the last 8 years that we had a better opportunity to tell people what we stand for and to put our leaders into power. And, just in the last few months, we've seen them cave. For instance, on the latest energy bill, they just passed the one. Nancy Pelosi's all standing up banging her drum how by the year 2020, 12 years from now, we're going to be able to have standards that we get 35 miles a gallon. Way to go and think green. I mean, here we are, 35 miles a gallon. You got Japanese cars that will do more than that right now. But they're going to make it a mandate by 2020, 8 years down the road. That means we're going to be energy dependent on foreign countries for at least the next 8 years. We're not planning ever on leaving the Middle East. We're planning on keeping our guys there, just making corporations money and letting our boys' blood run for nothing. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, war is good for the economy. That's their theory. And they don't want to step on the toes of the auto industry and the oil and gas industry that have all those lobbyist dollars. This all comes down to publicly financed elections. Until the people's vote means more than a lobbyist dollar, this is going to continue. We're going to continue to get this. We're going to get the Republican Party being the corporate party and the Democratic Party being the corporate party that's slightly less scary than the Republican Party. I totally agree with you on that, Jerry. Thank you for your call. I appreciate your opinion. Yeah, let me go to these bills that we're talking about here. I've also got a couple other calls hanging on the line. Stay with us. We'll be right to you. These bills, you know, it's over and over again. We're seeing the same thing from our Democratic leadership. We continue to build this theme about them being weak and spineless and backing down.
Everyone considered him a coward of the county. It never stood one single time to prove the county wrong. His mama named him Tommy. The folks just called him Yellow.
The day of the blank check for the president in the war is over.
Always told me they were reading Tommy wrong.
He is president of the United States, not king of the United States.
Well, then start treating him like the president of the United States and do some oversight and get some things changed here. This is just ridiculous. You know, the way that Republicans win elections, and this is the way they did it in 02 and 04 and 2000, is by suppressing the vote. They know that the majority of the American people have progressive liberal ideals. We see it in poll after poll after poll, in just about everything you want to talk about: healthcare, the economy, the environment, energy, employment. People always come down on the side of progressive Democrats. And yet, progressives are afraid to stand up for those ideals because they know if they do, their corporate masters will take away the lobbying dollars and they won't be able to get elected because they won't have the money. So if the Republican strategy is to turn down voter turnout, is to keep it down, to keep people from coming out to vote, what better way to do that than to convince us that our vote doesn't matter? That, oh, it doesn't matter if you vote for Republican or Democrat, nothing's going to change. You know how many times I've heard that? I go around to my friends and family and they say, hey, what are you doing these days? They say, hey, I got a political talk radio show. I'm talking about politics, progressive politics, talking about Democrats and liberals. And they say, it doesn't matter who you vote for. They're all the same anyway. Well, that's what's why the Republicans continue to win, is the Democratic leadership, God knows why, continue along this strategy of capitulation and spinelessness that continues to build that theme that Democrats are weak and spineless. And when we're facing a serious threat of terrorism, a serious threat of people, and there's not a lot of them, it's a tiny majority, but Islamic extremists that want to kill us, do you think the average mom and pop voter is going to say, hey, let's vote for the spineless guy? He'll protect us from the terrorists. That's how they win these elections, by continuing to beat us down and make us think that our votes don't matter. And you know what, Jerry? I agree with you about the Democrats, these modern Democrats, being worthless and as you said, sucking. But it's not the problem of the Democratic Party in general. There are good progressive Democrats out there. We just need to elect more of them. If you've got a Democratic incumbent, let them know you're supporting any primary challenger that comes against them. Let the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Commission, Chuck Schumer's organization, let them know not one more damn dime until you guys start acting like Democrats, until you start supporting progressive ideals, till you start standing up for the American people. Now, as far as these bills go, here's what he was talking about, that energy bill. Let me get back to that, the notes here. They had an energy bill. This passed the House. It passed the House of Representatives. It got to the Senate, and that's where the arm twisting started. The bill contained a requirement for utilities to draw 15% of their electricity from renewable energy sources. It would also have provided rebates to people who purchased plug-in hybrids and electric vehicles. The bill took away billions from the oil companies and funneled that toward alternative energies. A great idea, a fabulous idea. Well, the Republicans wouldn't vote for it, and they threatened to filibuster. You gotta understand that too. The Democratic leadership isn't even requiring them to filibuster. No. It's enough for the Republicans just to say, we don't like it. And that enough is enough to get Harry Reid to require a 60-vote vote in the Senate to get something passed. I say make these guys filibuster. Make these guys go on the American televisions every day and talk about why they don't want to give us health care for children, why they are against plug-in vehicles, why they want to keep us embroiled in wars for oil, why they want to decimate the American working people. Make them stand up and fight for that, and maybe we could get this turned around. Okay, gotta go to my happy place now. Gotta get a little bit happy. Where's Minnie? Minnie, where are you? Ah, that's better. I'm Radical Russ. Welcome back. It's 35 after the hour. You got the weekend. Live progressive talk with Radical Russ, your red state refugee.
Wine is fine, but when it's scarce, when it's suicide is nowhere.
Ozzy Osbourne, the Oz Man cometh. Let's go to the phones, 866-5577-377. I've got Jim in Lombard, Illinois, giving us a call. Jim, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Hello, Russ. I just wanted to know if the American public realized that there's 120 veterans every week in this country that are committing suicide.
Yeah, I heard about the suicide report. I don't know if that number is correct. The thing I caught here is the Army suicide record. This year, a record number of soldiers and veterans, 109 soldiers and veterans have killed themselves this year. And this was a record for 8 years.
C-SPAN. It's 120 a week. It was on C-SPAN the other night. It's 120 a week.
I don't know if I can. I'll have to check and confirm that. But regardless of what the number is, Jim, it's despicable. I'm completely with you on that. These suicides, we're having more and more suicides from our fighting men and women being pushed to the brink, being strained by these 15-month tours and not getting, you know, fourth, fifth rotations into Iraq and Afghanistan. And they come back to a VA system that's woefully underfunded and understaffed for mental health issues. We are creating the next generation of homeless. And it's just despicable that that's what we're doing to our fighting men and women. Thank you for making that point, Jim. I really appreciate it. I got to keep going here with some of the stories I've got lined up here. You know, before we went to break, we were talking about Democratic capitulation and how the Democratic leadership has, well, we don't know what kind of strategy they've got going on here, but it starts with a P is what it is. And these guys, this was three bills this week that we've got to deal with where the Democrats are caving in and not standing up for what the majority of the American people want. You know, we had Nancy Pelosi way back in February when the 110th Congress came into office, who had this to say about war funding.
The day of the blank check for the president in the war is over.
And yet, Congress just sent the war funding bill to Bush, a defense policy bill on Friday that requires no change in strategy in Iraq, and another $189.4 billion for the Iraq and Afghan wars. $8,000 a second that we are spending on this occupation, this illegal occupation of the Middle East, and we can't seem to find money for health insurance for poor kids. You can't seem to find any money for that. Plenty of money to go kill a bunch of poor kids over in another country, though. That's fine. We can drop bombs and all that depleted uranium. Yeah, that's the Christmas spirit for you. So, yeah, they said no blank checks. And they said, we will not give the president any more money without a timetable. And yet, every time they come back and give him the bill. Now, of course, the president is holding our troops hostage. You know, he wants to paint it as, well, if the Democrats don't give me all the money, those troops will be out there in the field and their bullets will run out and they won't have any food and they'll have no gas for their Humvees or whatever, which is a complete fabrication and spin and lie. Money for this war has already been appropriated all the way through the end of George W. Bush's tenure. We could cut the funds right this minute. And there would still be plenty of bullets, plenty of bombs, plenty of gas, plenty of food for our soldiers. So it's a lie. And the Democrats, they underestimate the American people. They underestimate our capacity to understand what's really going on here. They seem to think that Fox will throw up some 6-second soundbite about, oh, the Democrats hate the troops, and that suddenly all the American people will hate the Democrats. Those days are over. Those days are over. We get it now. We've seen the man who's behind the curtain. We know what's really going on. And these days, you know, these Democrats, they continue to think that the Senate is some sort of collegial body of negotiation and compromise. And the Republicans gave that up in 2000. We've still been playing by the old school rules. They've been playing by their rules, which is we get what we want and we don't give an inch. This is what we saw on the bill with the energy bill that I was talking about. We had renewable energy requirements in there. Would have created thousands of jobs. Would have cut down the greenhouse gases, given us more technological development. But the Republicans and their coal buddies didn't like that, so that was cut. There was payments to buyers of electric vehicles and plug-in hybrids. But the auto manufacturers didn't like that so much, so the Republicans said they didn't want that. And then the oil industry, we give $13 billion in subsidies, taxpayer money to the oil industry every year. You know, they need it because it's not like they've been making record quarterly profits, and not just record quarterly profits for America or their particular industry. They are making the biggest profits in the history of mankind ever. And they need more subsidies from the federal government. We were going to turn those subsidies over to alternative fuel manufacturers. No, I couldn't do that. Couldn't take away the $13 billion corporate welfare for the oil industry. So that got stripped from the bill. And as soon as that was stripped from the bill, ding, 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 all of a sudden the Republicans are all over that bill. They thought it was a great bill once you took all the teeth out of it. Let's go to the phones, 866-55-77-377. I've got Steve in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Steve, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
How you doing, Russ?
Oh, I'm making it. I'm just trying to keep my head up and believe that this country can get back on track. What's on your mind?
Traitorism going on up there in Washington.
Yeah, traitors, treason, yeah.
We have no voice up there, brothers. You know, we put them in office there. Of course, they didn't say they would impeach or, you know, anything, but they're doing nothing like we want them to. And I'm like you, if anybody runs against them next year, I'm going to vote for them. Might as well, because, you know, I wasted my vote by putting them in office. They've done nothing. They turned their back on the veterans. On this country, all they're worried about is getting elected again, and they, like you said, they think we're stupid. We're fed up.
Yeah, they thought just taking the majority would suddenly, you know, change everything into the land of wine and roses. And the Bush administration, you know, they were still going from that idea of the negotiation thing. Well, once we're in the majority, then they'll have to negotiate. Nuh-uh. No, no, we haven't seen any negotiations. We haven't seen the Republicans give one inch. And the Democrats need to do a better job of highlighting that, of pointing out the Republican obstructionism.
Right, right. They won't even try. You know, if you don't win the battle, you got to try anyhow. I mean, you got to fight.
Exactly. And that's what I say about that whole filibuster thing, you know? It's they're just willing to give up. Oh, the Republicans are going to filibuster? Oh, well, okay, then we give up. No, you don't give up. You make them filibuster. You make them stand in front of the American people right. And try to make their case.
Show the people what they are, what they're doing, you know? If they would do that, heck, there's no way they could lose. You know, we'd vote them if they just... making an attempt. They're making no attempt. So, you know, I'm not going to vote for the Republican, but I might as well because, you know, all they
do. No, don't vote for the Republican. Go out and vote in the primary.
I'm not giving in. You know, I get out before I give up.
But all right. That's good to hear. A true American, Steve. Thank you for your call. I appreciate your opinion. Yes, absolutely. Don't give up. Don't buy into the hype of it doesn't matter who you vote for. Now, if your incumbent is one of these, like Dianne Feinstein or Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi or Harry Reid or any of these Democrats who continue to capitulate, you vote in the primary. You vote for the primary and you let them know that you want them out of office. You want a real Democrat. And then when the election comes down to the Democrat versus the Republican, you know, this is what they're counting on, is that we'll have to hold our nose and vote for the Republican. I don't think so. If there's a third party candidate out there that suits your agenda, that you feel would be a good candidate, vote for them. You know, I think it's sad in this country that we've been convinced somehow that if we vote for a third party, our vote doesn't matter. In this country, your vote matters, and you pick the person who you think is the best person for the job. You know, they want to try to fool you with these things like, oh, well, they're not electable. You know, they say that about Dennis Kucinich a lot. He's not electable. Well, if people vote for him, he's electable. See, that's the thing. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. When they say someone's not electable, you don't vote for him. Therefore, they're not electable. Let's turn this country around. Let's shake things up a bit. Let's get some real progressive Democrats in there. And if not them, some progressive third parties. And not one more damn dime to the Democratic Party until they start standing up for the American people. I'm Radical Russ. Phone number here is 866-557-7377. We'll be right back with our last segment right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
Oh, we seem to have hit the nerve here. 49 after the hour, I'm Radical Russ. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show, the home for truly radical progressives. Check out the website, radicalruss.net. You'll catch cartoons from Keith Tucker. Also, every week, I post a Google map of the location of every caller to the Russ Belville Show, and it just grows and grows and grows. It's kind of neat to see all the people all around this North American continent who agree, or at least are listening, to my opinions. It's wonderful. Let's get some more of you on the line here. I've got Ed in Chicago, Illinois, the Windy City. Welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Yeah, hello, Russ. Let me tell you the guys that I am really disgusted with, okay? And that's these Republican veterans, in particular John Warner and John McCain. Okay, I excuse Chuck Hagel. He has come out publicly against the war. I heard him say, you know, you better know what you're doing before you send these guys back into the meat grinder. He has made his position clear. He supports the veterans. McCain and Warner have basically been silent. What they should be doing is going to Bush and tell him, if we hear one more report of these veterans waiting 6 months or more to see a doctor at the VA, these guys waiting a year or more for disability, one more report, Mr. President, we're going to Harry Reid and tell him when the impeachment starts, he can count on our vote. That's what they should do. Stop making excuses. All these investigations and the VA is short personnel, and we didn't expect all these veterans to come back with disabilities. This is nonsense. We've had this in every war. We've been able to take care of it in every war. They don't care one bit about these troops. McCain and Warner have put the Republican Party before their fellow veterans. And that's the
absolutely
truth.
Absolutely. You are absolutely right on that. You win my nail on the head award for the day. The way we're treating our veterans is disgusting.
Right.
You know, they need to get, they should have a free college education. They should have free health care for life, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. And can I
tell you, by God, if, if Dick Cheney can get you know, when Dick Cheney, that his heart goes off every, you know, couple of months, they fly him right out there to the medical center. He gets taken care of right away. That's what the lowliest buck private deserves.
That's right. And can I tell you what they can do about this problem at the VA? They can give these guys
go right ahead.
Yeah, they can give these guys medical cards and let them go to any private hospital or doctor they want for 5 years. All expenses paid by the government. If they can lose $9 billion in Iraq that they can't keep track of, they can give these guys the decent medical care they deserve. Don't worry about the VA. Send them to the best hospitals in the country. All expenses paid by the United States government. If they were veterans and patriots, that's what they would be doing.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that, Ed. Thank you for your call.
All right.
I appreciate that. Got to get on to another call here. We've got Rockney in Sailorsburg, Pennsylvania. Rockney, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Yeah, hey, great show. I was just telling the guy that answered the phone there, I'm 53 years old. I voted Democrat all my life, ever since I was 18. And I'm not going to vote in the next election because I'm going to tell you, everybody says, oh, it doesn't make a difference who you vote for. Oh, it does. It makes a difference into which party is going to get the corporate money, which party is going to sell you out. That's the only difference it makes. Because these guys, all these Democrats have done, we elected Casey here in this state, Senator Casey, and the first thing that he did was vote for that the unconstitutional spying bill that said Bush can spy on anybody anytime he wants to. And you know, Casey's a Democrat. And that's the first thing he did was cave in and vote on that bill. And they've continually caved in. They haven't stood at all, not once.
Yeah, the only problem with not voting, though, Rockney, is that then that says, okay,
you
guys win.
In my state,
well, I'm
going to
vote for Dennis Kucinich myself. When it comes to the presidency, I'm voting for Dennis Kucinich because he's the guy who's actually talking about revamping this corporate
Kucinich
control over our government.
Unless Kucinich gets the Democratic nomination, he isn't going to run in my state because they basically cut independents out here for presidential elections and stuff. I mean,
there's a lot of those dirty tricks going on in here. And, you know, the thing is that, God, I hate to give up, though. I hate to give up the idea that I just am not going
to
vote because that, to me, that's what the corporations want. That's what the Republicans want, is for us to be apathetic and not vote. I'd much rather vote for the lesser of the two evils than the most evil. And I feel that not voting is just giving a free ride to the most evil. But I appreciate your opinion, Rockney. I got to go. Thanks for the call. We've got... get me all riled up here, having a lot of fun here on the show. There's one more story that I have to get out. I've got to talk about this, or else my conscience won't let me sleep. And it has to do with this story of Jamie Lee Jones. Have you heard this story? Jamie Lee Jones, 22 years old, says that she was a contractor working for Kellogg Brown & Root. Now, Kellogg Brown & Root was a former subsidiary of Halliburton. Halliburton, of course, was the former company that Dick Cheney was in charge of. And this Kellogg Brown & Root, was another one of these war profiteering contracting companies out there in Iraq. And this woman, she was working for him. She's working for him in the green zone. And she says... Hold on, I got to just gather here just a second. She says that she was working for Kellogg Brown & Root in the green zone, and she was raped by multiple men. She was gang raped. She was attacked and held against her will and gang raped in every way. I'm not going to get into the descriptions, but gang raped. And then her abductors, they were afraid of her tattling. They're afraid of her going to the authorities. Who knows who those are in Iraq, but they're afraid of the story getting out, so they locked her up in a shipping container, one of those big old shipping containers that you see on the ships and the trains and such. Big old, you know, metal box, basically. For 24 hours. 24 hours locked in a shipping container with a bed. You know, that was about it. And warned that if she tried to get medical treatment, that there would be repercussions. So I'm thinking, you know, I see this story and I go, oh my God, I can't believe what our enemies, what the Iraqis, what these insurgents, these Al-Qaeda are doing to our young women. And it wasn't Al-Qaeda, folks. It wasn't Al-Qaeda that gang raped her. It was her own co-workers. It was her own Kellogg Brown & Root co-workers. These mercenary bastards that gang raped this woman, 22-year-old woman, prime of her life, you know, just trying to get by, and kidnapped her and held her against her will as a prisoner. And this is what Bush has wrought. I know people keep calling in and they say, you can't blame everything in Bush. Bull. I'm blaming this on Bush. Why? Because they set up this mindset that anything goes, that it's a lawless zone, that anything that needs to happen can happen. And Paul Bremer, when he was the viceroy out there in Iraq, wrote that law as he's going out the door, wrote the law that said, oh yeah, guess what? Contractors in Iraq don't have to obey Iraqi laws. So they don't have to obey Iraqi laws. They don't have to obey American laws. And what do you think? You get a whole bunch of macho guys who like to tote guns and shoot people for profit without the pesky interference of military discipline or the chain of command or the uniform code of military justice. Yeah, let's get a bunch of those guys together, put them out in the desert with no law amongst a 22-year-old female coworker, and let's just see what happens in a land where all sexuality is repressed and all the women are covered up and it's, you know, it's 122 degrees out. What did you think was going to happen with no oversight and no law, no rule of law on these guys? This is the legacy we are leaving all around the world. When people hear that we allow this to happen to our own people, it's just disgusting. And the most disgusting thing about this, she might not have any recourse. She may not have any recourse. She can't try him in Iraqi law. She can't try him in American court. And according to her contract with Kellogg Brown and Root, she has to submit to arbitration, which Kellogg Brown and Root brings in their own arbitrator, and they win the cases 80% of the time. Hate to leave you on that sad note, but this is the Russ Belville Show, the home for truly radical progressive. Check out the website, radicalrust.net. Send me an email, radicalrust@gmail.com. I am out of here.